How can they know about this in Northern Ireland and not know it 2 miles down the road? Amazing, isn't it? And I also got to understand this, that it's only the supernatural hand of God, I believe, that draws people here. I don't know how I would have ever met Larry Richardson. I don't know what I could have possibly done on my own to find Mark Trump. I don't have any idea what I could have possibly ever have done on my life to be connected with David Arthur or be connected with George Lewis. I can tell you the George Lewis story, how that whole thing came about 3 or 4 years, whatever it was, or now Denny Bryan. It's only through the supernatural intervention of God that people are being drawn here. And I can't explain it. I don't know why. I do know this. I know you hear things here you don't hear anything else, hear anywhere else. And I know probably there's some of you out there have tried to, if I dare say this, tried to wean yourself from the show. You can't. There's something going on here. And I'm honored to be in the middle of it, to be part of it, and to understand that the reach that we have is greater than we even understand. And so along those lines, I feel somebody wants to come in. Does somebody want to come in? You don't have to if you don't want to. I just
something's happening here. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to sing that, Vinny, but maybe I'll save that for later on here in the show. I'm cleaning off my phone here. Bear with me a second. I went yesterday with David Arthur spoke in a church about 30 miles from here. Or maybe it isn't that far. Anyway, closer for me than it was David. Went down and just went down to support him. And I'd heard David say it before, but he said it again, and I just want to acknowledge it. It really, really encouraged me, David. That David said that the Lord changed his life, but that I changed his walk. And I really appreciate that. That's what I want to do. Well, I want to change your walk. I want you to follow me. I don't want you to believe what I say. I don't want you to go around quoting and telling people. Like I hear people say all the time, I heard Limbaugh say, I don't want people going around saying, I heard Coach say, I just want your walk to change. I want your walk to become deeper. I want your walk to become more, I want you to become more involved. I want you to become more purposeful in your walk. Purposeful in your walk. Not just living your life, but become purposeful in your walk. Sitting around last night in our house, all the grandbabies were here, all five of them, that little sweet little Emmy, oh my goodness. And the joy of what really, really matters in life and how little time we give to what really matters in life just kind of hit me again. And I was reminded of what I started to say about David Arthur when we went down to the little church down there in New Lexington, Ohio. I couldn't get away from something. All bothered me all day, David. But all, when I came home, it bothered me. By the way, I want to have a conversation. The Lord showed me something. I think it will edify you and help a little bit. I felt a little bit burdened when I left. I saw something yesterday that I have a tendency to overlook. And the fact is that there are many, 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 many faithful pastors out there who are laboring in obscurity, taking care of their 20 or 25 or 50, the little flock of people who really in some areas don't really have a whole lot to cling to, don't really have a whole lot gone for them in areas of Ohio and areas of different parts of the world where, let's be honest, man, survival is day-to-day, financial survival day-to-day, problems with their children day-to-day, and the only place of solace that they have run to is to their local church. And faithful pastors are standing in the pulpits every week doing the best they can to try to keep that thing together. I saw one of those again this weekend, and I was just kind of really grieved because, you know, I come on here a lot and I beat up on the pastor. But when I beat up on the pastor, I guess I'm beating up on the fancy pastors. You know what I'm talking about? The fancy pastors, those who have larger congregations that could really make an impact. Those are the ones that I'm beating. I'm not beating up on Pastor Tim, who I came in yesterday. God bless him for what he's, the faithfulness. Remember, the scripture says to commit to faithful men. And you know, Pastor Tim said yesterday, Pastor Tim, I don't even know if he listens to the show. I'm not trying to talk behind your back. I'm not trying. I don't want anybody to think I'm speaking to every pastor who's listening. I'm speaking to the Denny Bryans of the world. I'm speaking to many of you out there. I saw something yesterday. I think one of the things that I should be spending some of my time doing is going into small churches, small congregations. Denny made it happen in Iowa, and others have made it happen other ways. I should be going into small congregations and doing three-night revival. I ought to be going in and doing a Tuesday, a Wednesday, and a Thursday night in the same little church, because I saw something yesterday that I know would happen. If I were to go into, I'm not talking about me, I'm just talking about the call on my life, what the Lord would like me to do. Some little guy out there has got, I saw this yesterday, got 25, 30, 40 people sitting in there, and they're hungry for the Lord. And I'm thinking, this church so needs some fire breathed into it. The pastor's worn out, doing the best he can, trying to keep everything together. I'd love to go in and do a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, little Christian American history presentation. And I know this, the crowds would grow night after night after night. I know Denny Bryan could attest to the fact that when I was in Iowa and I spoke in Iowa, if all those people could go home and tell everybody, hey, you got to come back tomorrow night and hear this guy, the crowd probably would have doubled. And it's not because hearing this guy. I don't care about those big churches. I want to go to where their faithful pastors are who are doing the best they can to try to awaken their bodies to what's going on. If you're one of those pastors out there, I'd love to hear from you. I'd consider it an honor to come to your town and help you. Because you know what I saw yesterday in that church? And David Arthur can attest to this. It's all old people. Now, there were some young people, but if we're not careful, folks, Christianity is going to become, it's going to die on the vine. We look at what's happening in our churches and we see what's happening in our politics. They're waiting for us, we old conservative white folks, to just kind of vanish away. And then for whatever purpose and for whatever reason, we've lost the zeal of the Lord in our churches. Now, we haven't lost the zeal of the Lord in those fake churches, as Larry would say, the social clubs. We haven't lost the zeal of, well, we found a misplaced zeal of the Lord. We love the Lord because the Lord loves us. We love Jesus. We love to go to church because God loves us as much as we love us. That's a phoniness. But in these small churches and all these places all around, all across the fruited plain, there are pastors who are laboring in there who I believe that we can help awaken. Because in these small towns, folks, one that I was in yesterday, New Lexington, Ohio, it's in the middle of the foothills of Appalachia. It's hardcore, man. It's not a lot of jobs, people struggling to stay alive. And Jesus is more needed, more real in those places than he is in Columbus, Ohio, or Madison, Wisconsin, or Cleveland, Ohio, or you name it. It's in those small towns. So I'm putting that challenge out to any of you out there. I'd love to come. And it's not about me, but I believe that I have a message that I can bring that's going to bring encouragement to your people. So that's really, really on my heart, really heavy today.
Amen, Coach.
And I apologize to those faithful pastors who out there are working their tails off, just trying to keep those doors open, and just trying to meet the needs of the people who are loving Christ in their suffering. Right? There's no better way to put it. They're loving the Lord in their suffering, and that's a good thing. But loving the Lord in their suffering is not going to draw people to church. It's just not going to. We need some power. See, if the Bible tells us that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, we need a sign. David Arthur was there yesterday. He was a sign. He was a sign. And they didn't really know what to do with this sign, this power of Christ that was standing before them. They didn't really know what to do with him and what to do with it. They would love to have that power. They would love to have those signs. But they're so beat down and so much oppression laying over them. And I'm convinced we're only losing because we have given up. We don't even know that we can win. Nobody's ever told us. Nobody's ever told us we can win. Just hang on. Just hang on and someday get to go to glory with the Lord. Just hang on. That's not Christianity, folks. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And it's no wonder that young kids don't want to go to church. Who wants to go sit in the middle of a suffering party? Who wants to go be part of that? And I'm not making fun of them. That's where they're living their lives. They're in distress. They're in despair. And the only hope they have is Christ. But the hope in Christ is greater than what they understand it to be. He's more than just a comforter. Holy Spirit's more than a comforter. He is a comforter. But he's power. Did you feel that, David? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You were there, man.
You know what, Coach? One of the young girls, as a matter of fact, the young girl that I was speaking to when you left, she came up to me and she said, "I want to thank you." She said, "You've given me hope." And I automatically in my head thought she's going to say, "Because I have a friend that's homosexual and I didn't know how." And she looked at me and she said, "Because I've been fighting with the fact that I think I'm bisexual for 2 years now." And to sit there and pray. And she said to me, "Would you pray with me? Would you please pray that out of me?" And we prayed, we cried, and it was so powerful because the people that are there, they know her situation. So they knew what was being unleashed, when it was being unleashed. The pastor, they have two daughters that are trapped in that death style. You know, almost everybody in that building yesterday has been affected or infected with this death style, with this garbage that's being spewed out all over this nation. And but I tell you what, they were so encouraged. As a matter of fact, the family that sat behind you.
See, now wait, hang on before you go there. See, they need you there tonight again. They need you tonight.
Yeah, because they would have brought their friends back, and that's what she said to me. She said, "I wish I could have brought friends with me to see you, you know." But and so you're right; she would have brought them tonight. But the family that sat behind you went to lunch with us, and he just kept looking at me. He said, "I'm just so amazed. I've never met anybody that talks about the things you talk about." He says, "Nobody talks about it and admits things that you stood up there and said." He said, and I love you, you know. And so they're ready to go out in the streets and start going to homosexual praise and all this kind of stuff because they want to reach the lost. They want to further the kingdom and they want their church family, as they said to me, to have a deeper relationship with Jesus.
David, I believe multiplied thousands of little churches like that. I believe it.
There are. I've seen them.
Of America.
I've been in them.
You know what? Listen, I'm just, folks, I want you to take this the right way. I went in there yesterday, and I was treated from the pastor's standpoint. I was treated like I was a celebrity. Like a guy like me would never, ever be in a small place. That David, that's the feeling that I got. You know what I'm saying? He knew who I was. He knew what I did. And he thought, my goodness, this guy would. And I'm thinking, dude, I come here as often as you want me to come here. This is what I'm about.
When I told him you were coming, he said, "Really? He's coming here?"
There you are, folks. See, they think I'm a World Harvest Church and all these big churches, and I'm sitting home.
Hey, Coach, you know what? Yes. The other thing is, you know, when I first came to Dallas, I went to work for a company that made these multimedia video teaching tapes, the series. So I used to call pastors all the time, you know, to tell them about the different series that we had and see if anything would appeal to them. And so I would talk to these, you know, big churches, but then I would also talk to these small churches. And the small churches, the pastor he'd want to stay on the phone and talk and tell you about his congregation and tell you the struggles they're going through, because these pastors do everything. They do it all by themselves because they have a small church. So they are everything to everybody. And so they don't have anybody to unburden themselves to. So I ended up having conversations with these small church pastors about what was going on in their church. Whereas the big church people, you wouldn't talk to the pastor, you talk to a ministry leader, and he'd blow you up because he was busy.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
That's why we need to donate to Pastor Salt and David's ministry. Everybody that's listening to this, everybody who's ever had a chance to be blessed by this show or David's show, needs to donate weekly or monthly. It's a must. You have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Thanks, Serge, because here's why. See, this pastor where I was yesterday, he would never have thought he could bring a guy like me in. He would think it would probably cost thousands of dollars. And when I tell them, listen, I just come, man. I just come. I say, I have a ministry, and people support me to do this. I'll come. And see, it's a celebrity pastor. Yeah, the Christian celebrity thing. We got to get through this. Let me, Todd Henry, I don't know if you can come in. I see that you're down here. I want to pick your brain here real quick, Todd, if you can get in. I don't know if you're where you can. Otherwise, you can just listen. Todd's a former pastor. Todd's been on the inside of the mega church thing. He understands that whole thing and how that operates. Todd contacted me after he heard Bradley Dean on here the other day. And Todd said, I live right across the street. I live right across the street from the school. Why am I not getting Bradley Dean in here at the school? He got together with Roger, and Todd called me, and Todd contacted Bradley Dean, and something's cooking, something's going on. Are you able to talk about that, Todd? Maybe you don't know how to unmute yourself. If you don't know, I see you're there. If you don't know how to mute yourself, just touch on your screen. Yeah, there you are. Come in, talk about that. Talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here looking out my window right now at the high school, and here I am, you know, wondering what I should be doing and where. And after that little short stint that we had with Bradley Dean last week, man, I pulled out my driveway, stared at the front doors of that school, and it was, I don't know if it was the Lord or just a thought, but I'm like, man, right there's a mission field. What am I trying to look for something? But anyway, I did hear back from Bradley's wife. She sent me some information about how they introduce the ministry to principals and superintendents of schools. So I'm compiling a list of 10 or 12 schools. I figure we can at least get one or two if I hit a bunch of them, just to introduce the ministry to them. And, I mean, I'm not as gifted as Bradley Dean. Wow, that guy's quite a communicator, has a powerful thing going. I just want to facilitate it if I can.
There you are. You're a facilitator, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Todd, while I got you right there, Todd, without mentioning any names, you've been part of Mega Ministries. You know how those things work. And you've been a pastor at your own church. You know what a struggle that is, Todd. Those small pastors and small churches, they need help, brother. They need help.
Absolutely. I threw the towel in. I got so frustrated. My family was so beat up. I mean, I didn't have anybody. I mean, my staff, my elders, everybody was a struggle every day. I just threw the towel in and basically said, Lord, I'm going to go sit on a mountain. If you want me back in the ministry, you're going to have to come hit me in the head with a 2x4 or something, because I'm done with this crap.
Amen. So, you know, you understand what I said, Todd, when I apologize to many, many. It probably is like poking you in the heart every time I beat up on pastors. But you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not talking about the small church guys. They're doing everything that they can. I'm talking about these big churches that are sucking up all the finances and all the people and all that stuff. And the ministry work hasn't really gone forward.
Right. One thing Bradley said that, man, just grabbed my heart. Actually, it was in another video. He said, God is still willing to give us what we're willing to fight for.
Still willing to give us what we're willing to fight.
Yeah.
Well, God bless you, Todd, for grabbing that one. I didn't mean to embarrass you there, but he says that ministry's right across the street from me here.
Yeah. And Roger's office is right up the street from here. And we got a nucleus of guys here that we need to get activated. I know some businessmen, and the principal of the school is a Christian. So I'm like, you know, all right, Lord, let's see what happens. Time to start knocking on doors.
Amen. All right, buddy. Love you there, Todd. Thanks, buddy. Anybody else want to come in here real quick? Quick. I'm an English guy. Quickly. You wouldn't come in quick. You come in quick.
You know what, Coach? I think, too, what it is we just need to stop referring to these men as pastors, and we stop referring to these groups of people in these buildings as the church, because they're not the church. And the majority of these men that we refer to, you know, 6-foot popsicles and all this other stuff, they're not pastors, because they're not leading and guiding their flock in the way in which they need to be trained up. So they're not pastors. These buildings aren't churches, you know, and we just need to stop referring to them. You know, when I talk about the homo church down the road, I don't call it a church. I say the apostate church.
Well, we were in a church yesterday with a real pastor and a real small congregation, but that's the real deal.
Yes,
we have to help those folks.
Amen.
We have to help them. Struggles.
I can't wait to go back.
I said this. I can't believe that he had the courage to have you in. I can't believe that. Right? I can't believe it.
It was the first church I ever spoke at that had my name outside on the marquee. Like, he was like, "Hey, guess what, everybody? He's coming. This is where he's going to be." But you know what? I also said to him, it was so moving to go to lunch and to meet a pastor, a man who is a pastor, that agrees that Jesus said, go and sin no more, that the word, that the scripture says that we can live perfectly after we've been washed clean. He agrees that we can live without sinning. And there's so many pastors I've had that conversation with that were like, oh no, David, we're just, you know, we're falling, we're broken, we're this, we're that. Well, guess what? Jesus said, go and sin no more. And he wouldn't have said it if it wasn't possible.
Hey, David.
Amen.
I don't want those defeatist churches anymore. I don't want any part of them.
Yeah.
Hey, David, how did this pastor find out about you?
I met another pastor at Lowell Morrison's, at the huddle that we had, what, last month at Lowell's. And I met him there and we talked. I gave him some testimony. We really connected, and I gave him a book, and he contacted his pastor friend and this pastor, because it's a church of God. And this pastor said, hey, you know what? We're a network and we all communicate, and you're going to have the green light to go into other church of God's. To give your testimony. And he says, I'm going to start contacting people. And I was like, I was just blown away that he even called me.
Amen. Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Amen.
Say hi to Reese. She's getting big. She's getting big.
Reese, hey, thank you for the card, Reese. I appreciate that card. You made my day.
I'm thanks.
Hey, Coach.
Hey. Yeah.
You know, you were talking last week about you were having a spirit of oppression over you.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it disappeared. Well, I think in many ways you're getting your answer, because I think God is showing you the burden that these small pastors have, and you're answering the
Amen.
His request.
I think so too, Paul. I think so.
And,
I just saw in that humble man of God yesterday how hard he's working to try to keep that thing going on. I think I can help you, man. Let me help you.
Yeah.
That's my heart.
Well, there's a lot of them out there. And the thing is, if people listen to, if people get on a queue and listen over a week or so, they'll see your heart. They know who you're talking about when you're talking about the icicles and all that. I mean, they know what you're talking about, because a lot of them experience that themselves.
You know, so, you know, Paul, here's the truth. And there are a lot of guys. See, everything's built on money, right? So those little guys and those, I remember, I'll never forget one of those pastors saying a couple, 3-4 years ago when I spoke, he says, we rarely get a chance to have someone like Coach Dave. Now, isn't that sad? What does that mean, you rarely get a chance? All you got to do is ask. But see, we're so, again, called a personality, Christian personality. Stars. Okay. Stars cost money. That's the way.
Honorariums. Hotel rooms.
Yes.
Is it any different when y'all responded in Port Arthur how no one was there because it wasn't newsworthy? Is it any different than that?
No,
people don't look at the small church. They overlook it.
Yeah, we've been taught to look at that mega church, that big. And if that pastor was really doing a good job, he'd have himself a big old mega church too. See, what a great, great deception. Because those smaller churches, I saw it again yesterday, they're closer to a family. They try to be a family anyway. Small church.
When do they switch? Is it the power? Is it the organization gets too big? Because we need to learn that lesson, Coach.
We do. That's something probably Mike Spaulding could tell us, or Todd Henry could tell us, or anybody else, any other pastors. I don't know. I think it becomes desperation, doesn't it? After a while, it becomes desperation. And, you know, you got these people in here and you're struggling every day to try to keep them in the church. And then they're drawn to the bigger church. Oh, let's go over here. They have better music. Oh, Esther, let's go over there. Tim and Sarah, they're going over there, and their family seems to really be happy there. We can go over there and we can hide. We can go there. Look, they got like 500 people there. They'll never know we're there. We can go in there. We can go suck off the teat. Nobody will even know where. That's what I think a lot of it is. It's a remain anonymous. Say, I'm part of this. It's like being a Buckeyes fan. I'm a Buckeyes fan, but I'm never at practice. I'm never out there getting my teeth knocked in. But I'm a Buckeye. No. So I think there's a lot of that. I'm a Christian, and I hide right here in this great big church. And I think there's a lot.
Big box store mentality.
Thanks,
big box store mentality. Same thing Home Depot and Lowe's has done to the Ace Hardware. Same thing Walmart has done to your little local grocery store. Big mega churches. Man, we have a variety of shelves and things to offer the family at a cheap cost. Well, the cheap cost is it's costing a lot of people their souls.
See, I was in Kroger's yesterday. That's our big grocery store here, Kroger's. And I told my wife, we never go to the grocery store together, but we did yesterday, or whatever day that was, is yesterday. And I said something about Kroger's. I said, man, I remember growing up, there were three grocery stores here in my town. There were three of them. There were three grocery stores in my little town. And now there's Kroger's and not a grocery store anywhere to be seen. And that's exactly what's going on with the church, isn't it? Great big mega churches and all these little grocery stores are closing down.
Now, Coach, on the smaller church mentality, it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have that just at a smaller scale. Small church here, you know, and the thing is I know pastors, you know, we're looking, we got to keep the doors open. We got to pay the bills. I mean, I'm a small church. We own our property. So then we've got just in the month of October, we pay our bonds, we pay our insurance, we pay our flood insurance. It's like an $8,000 bill. And on top of that, that's when we do our gas giveaway. And one of the things for the small pastors, I tell them, I said, you got to step out in faith and you have to absolutely give it away, sow it out in the community and watch God bring it in. And I heard somebody talk about, well, then you got to put them up in hotels. Are you kidding me? You put them in your house. You let them stay with you. Not only do you save the money, but you get relational.
Yes, sir. So I said, I'll sleep on the couch. I got a sleeping bag. I'll sleep on the floor. I don't need no hotel. Easy peasy.
Dave.
Yeah.
I think what happens also is people are on checklist church on Sunday. I went to church. Thank you very much.
Amen.
You know, they get up. They feel it's the right thing to do. I'll go to church. I can check it off my list, and I'll see you next Sunday.
That's right. And nothing is required of me. I go, and maybe I like what they're cooking today. Maybe I won't, but it doesn't matter. That's it, man.
They're checking the box, right?
Yeah.
Checking the box.
And the box is the church. So they just spend an hour, they go in, they check their box, see what people's doing, then they go home.
Well, and then they might participate in a service project or a mercy project, mercy ministry or service. Nothing wrong with that, but there is something wrong with that. It's the totality of your church.
Amen. Thank God. Guys like Pastor Dale, Pastor Mike Spaulding, guys who serve, they serve. Mike Spaulding works a full-time job. Dale works a full-time job. These guys serve.
Coach, I just want to throw this out here in case I forget. If you're coming down to Mississippi in January, I'm not suggesting. No, you have to come to King Jesus Ministry so they can see your face.
Well, Mississippi ain't quite New Orleans, brother.
Well, no, okay. I'm saying for the OSA event. It's in Mississippi. I want you to come to.
Hey, Coach.
Listen, how about this one? How about just inviting us down for a weekend, and I'd love to bring my wife down, and we could spend some time with you and Michelle, and I'll stay in that apartment you have up there. That's what I'd like to do. Let's just do that.
Come on.
Let's do a little three-night revival down there. Let's just do that.
Come on.
All right.
Come
on. All right. Well, we'll put that one. We'll get that one on the calendar here. Somebody else, come on in. I heard you.
Coach.
Yes.
You know that pastor you're talking about that, you know, said he couldn't believe that you came to his church. Well, that's humility there. That to me, just, I feel the heart of a shepherd there.
Oh, man.
And I think that to me, the difference is, it's really the heart. Either a pastor has the heart of a shepherd or the heart of a hireling. And Pastor Mike Spaulding, Pastor Dale, you know, the guys you mentioned, they're shepherds. They're shepherds. They're gonna die for the sheep if they have to. And I think that's the key. You know, because you should be welcomed in all these big churches, small churches. But anyway, that's the heart of a shepherd.
I ought to be somewhere every Sunday.
Now, amen. I'm gonna say this,
and Pastor Todd, I know you understand. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm not, okay? But here's what I see, in my own opinion. I want to come and help. And I can't come and help if you're worried about whether they're going to like my preaching better than yours. My goodness. Isn't that part of the problem? Isn't that part of the problem? What was it, David? What you say? We'll hook them and then let the pastor clean them. Bring me in and let me hook them. I'll hook them for you. I'll reel them in, then you clean them. And so, golly, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and it just grieves me this morning. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, because they need to take the credit for it. They'll invite you, but they want to take the credit for it. They can't let you have the credit for it because then, we'll be following him. We should be following Coach. What they should be doing anyway.
That's right. But I'm throwing grace out to these guys today because I know I saw yesterday how hard some of them struggle. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, you know, at our church, we haven't had a pastor, what you call pastor, for over a year. And everybody in our church now says to the point that they said if we ever got one again, they'd probably quit. Everybody's involved. Every week somebody takes a different turn reading the scripture. Everybody takes turns praying. And we have an unbelievable service. You know, we don't go an hour. Usually it goes 3 hours. And everybody's growing spiritually unbelievably because they're not just sitting there and being spectators anymore.
Right.
They're
right.
All involved. And they're all growing. You can ask Craig. It's just unbelievable.
Amen, buddy. Amen. So, listen, I don't want to beat this horse, okay? I don't want to beat this horse. Jody, I see what you're asking for. Jody, you can just Google it. It's the First Church of God in New Lexington, right downtown New Lexington. First Church of God, downtown New Lexington. Wonderful. Tim Poling, wonderful. Just sweet spirit. People just trying, they're just trying to make it, man. That's all. Anything else? I'll move on. I, you know, this really matters to me, though. It really matters. It really matters. So, I'm proposing anybody out there who, I want to come. Pastor, I want to help you. I want to stand beside you and help you. Okay. That's what I would like to do. We have a lot of resources, a lot of things that we can do. And I said to my wife, some of them won't have me because I beat up on the church so much. I understand. And I guess when I beat up on the church, it's the big churches. I know a lot of wonderful pastors who are working their fingers to the bone. I get it. So I would never want to criticize those.
Coach, I've never heard you beat up on the church. I've heard you beat up on a false church.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
As my mom used to say, if the shoe fits, wear it.
Amen. Yeah.
I said the Holy Ghost is stepping on your toes. You need to move your toes and get your butt in gear and do something.
Where has 30 years of love preaching gotten the church? Has it gotten us?
Well, Roger, funny you would say that. Jared, bring up Bobby's email. Bobby, I hope you don't mind me sharing it. Listen, normally I ask people, but this is so daggone good, I wasn't gonna not share it. I got this from this is Bobby's email. I think I sent it to you. this blesses my heart because this is the attitude I'm trying to get people to wake up and do. I think you're getting, Jared, I didn't hear you. There you go. Okay, there we go. Bobby just sent this. He sent it with another video, and I'll show the video here in a minute. But this is what Bobby wrote. He said, the days of Jesus loves everybody. I'm going to read off here. It's easier for me to see. So if I'm not looking at you, please bear with me. The days of Jesus loves everybody and cowardice. Do nothing Christianity are coming to an end. We are standing up and telling you low-functioning God-haters about yourself and taking ground back in the name of Jesus Christ. We're holding you accountable for the crushing of thousands of baby skulls weekly in abortion slaughterhouses and 1.5 billion crushed baby skulls since 1980. We're holding you accountable for the mental disorder of transgenderism and the brainwashed belief system regarding the mass acceptance of homosexuality across the nation. Homosexuality is a choice, no science behind it. All because people just want to have butt sex with other men. The strong Christian men and women are coming, and we're no longer just praying and waiting for the return of Jesus. We are shutting down the abortion slaughterhouses. We are kicking the homosexual sodomites out of our school systems and away from our kids. We're coming out of our churches and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and rebuking your sickness upon this nation right in your face. Amen, Bobby. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, now, Bobby, can I use that? I'd love to send that to pastors. Well,
that's a decree.
Yeah, you guys can send that to whoever you want. That would do my heart well.
Hey, consider it done.
That may not come from the pulp, but boy, that sure is some good, strong bull.
Yeah.
You need it.
And just so you guys know, I for the past while, I haven't told anybody or you guys, well, the people that know me close by, but I go online and like we all, I think, have YouTube channels. We'll get updates as to who we're subscribed to, be it RT or whatever. And these videos, I'll go on here and I go to war with these liberals. Everything I write is pretty much in capital, and I'm aggressive. Everything that you heard is. Sometimes I'm even more aggressive, and sometimes I'll use ass or maybe a couple little off words, but I really don't care too much about that anymore because I think Coach Dave would say they care less about the crushed baby skulls than they do a little bit of off-colored language. But I'm literally going, I'm punching these people in the face without remorse, and they're not used to it. They're shocked. And there will be an ongoing debate at times, but I'm almost always, if not always, winning everything because they can't argue outside of their own mental blockage.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. See, again, folks, it comes back to that commentary I wrote last week. We don't think we could win. If we really thought we could win, if we really thought all power has been given unto me both in heaven and earth, and go ye therefore, if we really believed that God was all powerful, we wouldn't be acting like this. It's a mental attitude about it, right? Can somebody tell me this? How can a small number of homosexuals be so in control? How can that be happening? Other than they're committed, they're not working for the rapture. They're fighting for everything that they believe. See, this life is their life, and we keep falling back on the fact that this isn't our life. Our life later on. And so as a result, we've yielded this one. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, what it is it's more than that. They're in control. They're in control behind the scenes because they appeal to our better nature, and then they use our better nature against us. Once again, they're holding us to our own standards, and they have no standards whatsoever.
And we let them get away with it. Not only do they get away with it. They become in control of it. And I still can't believe the number of email responses I got from people saying, we're not supposed to be in charge. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And meanwhile, they're teaching homosexuality to your children, and you don't even know it, nor do you even care about it. And you ask yourself this. Jesus said in Luke, I believe it was, suffer not the little children to come unto me. And then he said, it'd be better for you if they put a millstone around your neck and threw you into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead one of these little ones to believe in me. Yet our schools are taking our little children, brainwashing them, teaching them lies and deception, and we aren't doing anything about it. When the Lord said, it'd be better for you, that pronoun, you, if you permitted that go on, it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw you into Buckeye Lake. That would be better for you than to let them teach one of these little children that homosexuality is normal. It'd be better for you. Yet we don't do it. We're just passing through. It's not our home.
Hey, Coach.
Hey.
I saw that you sent something out, a YouTube video about that transgender child, 11-year-old kid.
Yep.
I tell you what.
Get that ready, Jared.
That was so disgusting because, and you sit there, you look at the father, and I'm like, how in the world? You know, and my wife saw it. She said she's probably something wrong with the dad, too.
Well, yeah, I thought that, too. But how about this, Paul? We're going to show that since you brought it up. Show some of it. What about the applause in the crowd? People applauding. Michael Strahan. I was watching him yesterday. He was on, he works for CBS football on Sunday. He's a man's man on Sunday talking about football. And then he's some tranny. I don't know. You guys got to see this. They bring trannies in. They bring
Two twin daughters, too.
And Michael Strahan gets up and kisses one of these trannies on the cheek.
I saw that, yes. I saw that, yes. I did see that.
What's going on?
You know, I haven't watched regular programming TV for a long time, a couple of years. But I just got a deal on my Fire Stick where I can tune in on some of it. And I was flabbergasted that one out of three commercials were promoting and glorifying transgenderism and homosexuality openly. One out of three.
It's amazing. The spirit! The spirit! That's a demonic spirit! Jared, pull that up there. Folks, this make you stick. It's 11 minutes or something. I don't want to show all of it. But you got to watch all of it to get a feel for it, to get an understanding of how deep youth... Hey, we wouldn't want to have any Christians in control of programming at ABC. We wouldn't want to do that. Oh, no. Let's let the devil run it.
Oh, let's, heaven forbid that we do that.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to have Christian programming. No, because this is not our home. We're just passing through here, and we'll soon be out of here. Cause look, they're showing stuff like this on TV. Things are just getting worse. We're on our way out of here.
But send me $1,000 so I can put up my satellite.
Amen. Go ahead and play this, Jared. Folks, this is network television. This is mainstream network television. Michael Strahan yesterday was on the CBS, whatever that football is, talking about football. Looking, sitting, watching, act like a. I'll bite my tongue. Go ahead, Jared.
Haven't heard the name Desmond Napolis? Get ready for this trailblazing 11-year-old drag kid who RuPaul is calling the future. His bravery is inspiring so many. We're going to talk to him in just a moment, but first, let's take a look at his amazing story.
I am Desmond. I'm 11 years old, and I like pizza, trains, and drinking root beers that's caffeine-free.
I also do drag, and I love to put on makeup, dresses, and
wigs, and of course, jewelry. I would say that right now, this little guy doesn't have any sexual inclination. I don't even think sex has maybe even entered his head. The idea of who he's, I'm thinking, right? He likes being a little girl. That's all. He doesn't think he's sexual. I don't think, David, maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead.
Jewelry is necessary. My full drag name is Desmond. It's amazing. I feel very happy to have a mom that accepts me.
It really touches me deeply that there are other children out there that he's reaching and they're listening to him. And he's influencing them to be themselves.
I'm very proud of him. I'm proud that he's found his path so early.
My greatest joy in this is just seeing Desmond happy.
I love doing drag because it makes me feel amazing and self-expressive. It just feels amazing to know that people love what I do. My one big message would be three words: be yourself always.
These people in the crowd. What's these freaking crazy people in the crowd? Go ahead.
Please welcome Desmond Naples, a.k.a. Desmond is amazing.
Hang on a minute. Freeze that. I wonder what they'd be saying in the locker room to Michael Strahan if he had to walk back into a locker room. I wonder what the Green Bay Packers and the New York Giants would be saying to Michael Strahan on here acting like some sissy man. Go ahead.
Thanks for being here. I love that you love root beer caffeine free. I can get on board with that.
My mom doesn't like me drinking caffeine.
Does it make you hyper? Yeah, me too. They don't like when I drink caffeine either. But Desmond, you're one of the youngest.
I'm not going to watch the rest of this. Jared, I want you to fast forward to where the trannies. See, ABC isn't happy just exposing this guy. They bring in full-grown trannies. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Right, it's coming up there, Jared. I don't want you to miss this. Michael Strahan kisses a woman on the cheek. Are you ready for this? Go ahead, Jared. He kisses a man on the cheek. Michael Strahan kisses a man on the street on the cheek.
And we've got Chanel. Please come out.
How wicked is this?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
So, apparently the line is sugar. You can dress your kid up like a girl to get him attention, but you can't give him sugar or caffeine, because that's the line, in case you're wondering.
I missed that one. Yes. Did you hear what he says? Mom doesn't like him having sugar. He dressed up like a woman, though.
Oh, he got all the sugar he wants. Trust me.
Hey, Coach, I'll step on a limb and get real sick here. I wonder what's been on that guy's cheek that Michael Strahan just kissed.
Wouldn't you like to show this video in every NFL locker room? That those guys watching Michael Strahan kissing this man on the cheek. Mwah.
You know what? I was going there with the caffeine thing too, Jennifer, because I talk about this boy a lot. And his unparents.
Bro, stop this.
His unparents don't have a problem pimping him out, but don't want him to have caffeine and sugar. Now, Coach, as far as this boy not being sexually active, I totally don't believe that. He's been in this for years. See, the first clip that they showed before they brought him out, where he was walking on that catwalk, that's called a ball, a homosexual ball. You know, like After the Ball, the book After. Right. It's a ball. And so what he was doing was walking in a ball. It's probably one of the categories, and which means that he's amongst these pedophiles and the LGBTP movement, and he has been amongst them for years. And you can see the void in his eyes that he has been abused.
Well, Coach, what has he done that's so amazing? He gets up and puts on girls' clothes. Little girls do that every day. That's so right. What's so amazing about it?
And actually,
got one more thing, guys. You need to realize how comfortable Strahan is around that environment.
That's true, brother. That is really, really true. Yeah. I'm thinking me. I'm in the background. I'd say, listen, I ain't going out there with that guy. You're going to have this guy on? You let her handle it. I'm not going to be out there for this segment. Yeah, that's what I would – Michael Strahan.
You have morals and you have values.
I have morals and values. That's right. What
struck me was how all the people in the audience here just appeared to be genuinely just full of glee and joy about what was going on.
Hey, Coach, I saw the show yesterday that he's on Fox. Every time I saw his face, I thought about that.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
You're talking about Strahan, you mean?
Yeah, I'm talking about Strahan, yeah.
Yeah, he's breaking down the NFL, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and then he's kissing some drag queen on the cheek.
What's amazing is it's accepted in this country. That's what's amazing.
What's amazing is that we let them get away with that. What's amazing is that we still sit here and we don't do anything about it. That's what's amazing.
I made a comment on that video after you sent it. I couldn't watch it, Coach. It literally made me want to vomit. But mm-hmm. I made a comment on there, and then I reviewed a lot of the comments on there, and most of the comments on there are that these parents are pedophiles, and that law enforcement, somebody's got to step in and intervene on behalf of this child.
Well, hey, listen, listen, Kevin, this is not our home. We're just passing through. Jesus is coming. That's our response. Hey, Jared, see if this is wrong. I don't know, Jared. See if you can click back on that YouTube video, and let's look at the comments under the YouTube video. I can't go there. Let's see. Straight up child. Oh, then my mom doesn't like me drinking. However, his mom doesn't care that she's sexual. Oh, somebody's getting it. The elders cheering, clapping. Obviously, the liberal brainwashing is working great. And these people applaud the kind of disgusting behavior. How do we get from the greatest generation to this generation where boys become flaming homosexuals and dress in drag as young as 7? He's just a little boy calling it whatever you like. You know, he's being used by eye candy for incredibly sick and twisted. So maybe the people get it, huh? Maybe the people get it. This is why gay rights need to be revoked. This is on ABC, man. This is on the YouTube.
What happened to people being used for a sex object?
Yeah.
Have they just completely stopped that whole philosophy?
I think they have, because I think everything is about sex, right? As a gay person, this makes me sick. This is predatory. God help us stop this. This hypersexualization is not normal. This is disgusting. He can do this when he's older, but this is just too much. His mom influenced him and probably some others too. Amen, right, David? Sick and sad. These parents are so lost. So very sad times we're in. But wait, we're just
If they want to see an amazing boy, let David Arthur on that show.
Boom.
And let him on. That would be amazing.
They are actually, and I've said it a few months ago, they are actually biting off their nose to spite their face, this movement is doing. And that's what they're doing. Because by them, let them parade that little boy on TV. Because when they do it, all the people that are looking at it are saying, what the hell are they doing? Are they stupid? Are they sick? They are sexualizing that boy. Even the homosexuals are saying, what the heck are you doing? You're setting that boy up for predators, which means that they know what goes on in their own movement.
They do not, brother. They do not, huh? They do not. By the way, I love your shirt there, David. They do not.
It's, thank you, yes. The new one.
So hey, Coach. It's interesting. We have the comments of the viewers that find it objectionable, yet we have the mainstream media promoting it to make people believe that this is normal.
Isn't this kind of like soft disclosure? Kind of like
it is, brother.
Know,
it is
know, making it open out there to where it's common. You know
what?
To your point about mainstream media promoting it at all, David Arthur and I had this conversation down in Texas that the homosexual community wields so much more power and authority in two areas than their numbers would indicate, and that is in the political and in the economic area. And when a flaming homosexual, transgender, whoever gets in charge in a high office in ABC, he is going to totally concentrate all of his resources that he has available, feeding it into his own community. That's the way they operate.
Okay, hang on. Let me listen. I'm up against the clock. I got to show you this. I know it's tinfoil hat right at the end, but it's okay. Jared, go to Forbidden Knowledge. Go to go to the 3:30 mark. Folks, listen. I don't care. I don't care. We gotta tell people the truth. You can think what you want to think about it. Jared, go to the I sent this to all of you yesterday. I don't know if you listened to it or not. Go to the 3:30 mark and listen to this guy who escaped the fires talk about these. He's lived out there forever. These fire. Well, listen, go to the 3:30 mark, Jared, if you can forward to that. We only need to hear 2 minutes of it. This whole thing's worth hearing, but just 2 minutes of this.
Eyewitness testimony, what I saw.
What you just told me blew my mind. You said you had like 2 minutes to get out, and at one point you're standing outside and you saw the tips of the trees and buildings, a whole bunch of buildings and outbuildings, all burst into flame without any accelerants, without any embers, without anything seemingly being the cause for this spontaneous combustion. Can you tell us how in the world you even got out of this conflagration?
Yeah, well, I had to run through basically about 30-foot long whipping flames that were driven by about 50 to 60 mile an hour gusts. And I carried a dog under each arm. I have three chew poodles actually, and so I took two of them and threw them in my Ford F-250 in the cab, which was sealed, thank God. Ran back. My cabin was about 25% on fire by that time. Grabbed my third dog. Thank God I had, within two or three breaths, I would have died of smoke inhalation. And I got into my cab with my third dog, closed the cab, and thank God there was enough clean air in there to get me about 4 or 5 miles down the road. But as I turned around, I looked my entire gate. I hit a huge metal gate with, 1x12 cedar planks on it, and the entire thing was engulfed in flame. And there really wasn't much but a little grass around that could have been, ignited these 6-foot planks everywhere across the face of the gate. So I had to basically take my F-250 and ram through that gate and knock it loose. I knocked it off the hinges and drove over it. And then I drove down into the Concow Valley down Concow Road. About a mile and a half into the valley, it was so much smoke, I had to drive by Braille just to get off of the...
You can stop that, Jared, because we're out of time. Folks, we'll make this available. This is unbelievable to listen to. Guys lived out there through all kinds of forest fires. He said there was no fire, and the next thing you know, poof, there's fire everywhere. Now, we can ignore this if we want to. We know the science is out there. The question is, who's doing it? Who would be doing it? And why? What has gone on? Something's happening here. Maybe I ought to start singing that song again, Vinny. So, hey, listen, this is just for your viewing enjoyment. Later on today, get to this link and listen to this 30 minutes. And it's, wow, what a time to be alive. Fires in California. Little trannies on Good Morning America. Little churches struggling to stay, keep the doors open. What a time to be alive, man. What a time to be alive. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.